the one that it's on.
It is. It's
my
you know,
fault.
Truly, it is on you. Because you've clicked record and all the juice is out the tank now. Like, we're done.
The juice is not out the tank.
We're not going to be funny anymore. We've just done literally the funniest joke that we're going to do of the night.
Okay. Play by play for the listeners is that. because unfortunately,
yeah,
Robin
roll it
is
back.
Correct.
They're roll right. it back for us.
They're right. We were just so funny and you'll never hear it again. But we can recap it for you. Is that before recording today, I went with the other roommates to an art fair. Actually a comics fair, but it's a lot. There's also a lot of artists like selling random things there that we went to last year. Here in Brooklyn. And last year I was there and I met this woman who does an art series called Send Nudes, where she exclusively asks queer people to send her nudes, and then she does art of them, and then she turns that art into like lighters and magnets and puzzles in certain cases. She's really cool, and the art is really cute, and her whole ethos is that, like, queer people should see themselves as art, and she wants that to happen, so she does that. So, like, last year after I met her, I sent her one, and then she did the picture of me, but I haven't been able to go to one of her showcases since then, so I've never seen the actual art in person. She sent me a copy digitally, but, like, I never got to like see it in person until today. So today I went and I bought magnets and she didn't have any lighters of me, which I was disappointed by because I didn't want a lighter. but I got magnets and I got stickers, and Robin was saying you should hide them all over the house. The hidden Dylans. But I did say that I put the magnet on the fridge and that I hope that no one is bothered by that because tough. It's on the fridge now.
And then I said, oh, it would be it'll be fun because people will say, oh, who's that? And they'll be like, oh, that's our housemate Dylan. And then Dylan said, oh, who's that sexy piece of ass? Who's that?
Who's that hot little slice? I said,
yeah,
yeah. People will be saying that. People
yeah.
will.
And
be
then
saying
I
that.
Said, and then I said, who's that hot personality? Who's that? Who's that hot human being? Dylan then responded.
Yeah, who's yeah. that hot human being? And so now you're caught up. Now you're with us. You're caught up on the goofs.
Really, genuinely big fan of the fact that the least funny joke, the least funny kind of event is when you go to two people who know each other really well and then they tell you how much fun that they've just been having and they yeah. kind of recap it as you just kind of sit there like, that is funny. Oh, I wish I was there. And I like that we've just done that to everyone.
That's the point of this podcast.
No, because we do funny stuff. We do funny stuff in the room with people. So at least they're there to experience it. But they should yeah. be quiet and know their place. But
yeah,
this time they've just walked into our house. We said, hello, how are you doing? Would you like some water? Oh, I opened the fridge to get some water. Oh my God, we just said the funniest thing.
We just said the funniest thing. Would you like to hear about how funny
like
we are?
To,
we'll
like
tell you. We'll tell you all about it piece by piece. And now from here on out, no more jokes for you. None.
Nope.
No more.
No, this is a serious podcast.
Serious podcast.
Serious podcast.
Yeah.
Speaking of serious, no, it's okay. Speaking of serious podcast, I was gonna be like, speaking of serious, the new Magic the Gathering set released yesterday, and it's the best.
Oh,
so I'm gonna
yeah.
talk about it for a bit. But I was like,
please.
You don't want to hear about it.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Crazy.
I don't want to play Magic the Gathering, but
sure.
I'll hear about your
you
little
hear
cards
about my little
and how
adventure.
Expensive they are.
Yeah. So cute and fun that you just said that.
I know.
Secrets of Strixhaven, the pre-release came out yesterday. Five schools of Strixhaven. They are, because of the current storyline in Magic the Gathering that's going on at the minute, all of the, so the classic, like the actual characters of Magic are in Strixhaven in this set, but their colors are all weird because they're all kind of like alternate universe versions of themselves. So, for example, Liliana, who is the classic mono black planeswalker, in this set is mono white because she's a healer in a weird alternate universe of themselves. Raj, who is a Izzet, which is a blue red, is mono black in this. Crazy. Oh, black white. No, he's mono black. He's black white. Anyway, his colors have changed. All the colors have shifted, which means that they've done a bunch of weird stuff with the normal mechanics that you would find in each of the colors. So red white, which is normally artifact stuff, and a lot of like tiny creatures you're summoning, as well as like instant and sorcery spell damage, has a lot of recursion in it, which means that you're playing with the graveyard a bunch, which is normally a black mechanic. And oh my god, is it the best shit ever? Yeah, it fucking rules. It's so good. Went to a pre-release yesterday. I was really excited. Kai and I went. We dressed up because we were going back to school. So we were the cleanest dressed people there.
Oh my god, stop. Were you really?
Yeah, we were. Kai had shirt, slacks, and a tie, and I had
I had a
shirt, slacks, and a nice jacket. Kai said, is it too much to wear dress shoes? And I said, this joke is for literally you and me, and we've already done it, so kind of. we're like okay, fine, we won't wear dress shoes. Got in, I bought two collector boosters, one for me, one for Kai, as a fun little like celebration of the fact that we've just gotten these cards on this pre-release. For those wondering, I wanted to go Witherbloom. I ended up going Lorehold, and I'm glad I did. I went 2-1, which means I won two of my three sets that night. I almost won the third. The third was a close fucking game. But I wasn't able to close it. But in this collector booster, I pulled a $100 card, and I was like, holy shit, this is a Japanese spell, silver scroll foil printing, and it was very expensive. And then I took it to the people, then I was like, hey, I'm not going to play this card because it's in red, color that I don't normally play, and also it's in Japanese, and I don't need this. This is a collector's card only. Give it to someone who cares. And they were like, oh, yeah, sure. And they like, let's Google how much this is. And they're like, wow, okay, so this is way, way too expensive for us to trade it in right now. They just fully denied me. And then I was like, okay, fine. And then I went back later in the night and I was like, okay, how about this? You just give me another collector booster and then we just do this. We just do this little thing again. And he was like, okay, fine. Collector booster is $50. And I was like, whatever. It's a card. I'm losing like 30 fictional dollars because
he was like,
oh, I'll give you this and then you can have $30 in store credits to do it. And I was like, sure. Anyway, and then Kai and I went home and because I liked Lorehold so much, I immediately bought the Lorehold commander deck because it's also red white graveyard recursion. Fiditi Valeri, beloved guest, is a Boros player and has been consistently mocking me whenever I say I don't like red, white, and commander, and I just don't like those colors. And he was like, but every single one of your favorite cards is in those two colors. And I was like, yeah, but I don't know what to tell you. I just don't like these colors. And then, unfortunately, he's won. He's won with this set. I love it so much. It's the best colors ever. Lorehold is the best house. Woo, woo. I love it so deeply.
Oh, my God.
Lorehold till I die. We bought a whole booster box. It's the best shit ever. It's a great set. I walked home literally buzzing. I was so excited. It's my favorite set since the Final Fantasy ones. It might be my favorite constructed little box set. It's just so magical, so fun. I pulled gangbusters, not only in the pre-release, but also in the box. I've pulled crazy well. I have a lot of fun stuff. We have people coming around for Commander tomorrow, and I'm stoked about it. Anyway, there you go. That's Bobbin's Magic Minute. Thank you so much for being here.
A new segment that we have decided to start.
Bobbin's Magic Minute. No, it's great. It's a genuinely fantastic set. If anyone is even looking to get into Magic, I'd recommend this. The story's fine. but it's but the art is really beautiful. They have this really great thing called the Mystical Archive, which they did in the original Strixhaven. The second time we've been to Strixhaven. Original Strixhaven had the Mystical Archive, which is they're just reprinting powerful, iconic spells from Magic's past to essentially stop scalpers from making shit tons of money out of it.
Right.
And also
right.
helping people get, like, just buff up their collection. Seekers of Strixhaven has exactly the same thing, but with a wider array because there is, like, a bunch of time in between. So there's just a lot of really good stuff out there at the minute. All of the art is stunning in the Mystical Archives. They're so pretty. I have a new... My favorite Magic the Gathering character is Marina Vendrill. She is the owner of the manor, Duskmourne Manor, which has been taken over by an Eldritch Horror. The Eldritch Horror, this is the story for Duskmourne, but the Eldritch Horror of Duskmourne was summoned to the house and was cursed to never be able to leave the house. So instead of trying to break this curse, Valgavoth just consumed the entire realm, expanding the house into this like endless haunted manor. So there's a realm of existence that's just one entire haunted house that is the entirety of Duskmourne. I love, and also Marina Vendrill cannot tell the difference between, she doesn't know, she's like trapped in this weird mind space where she's like, this is a normal house, it's fine. And then people are turning up being like, hey, so there's a lot of horrors here. It's a big horror set. I love it very much. It's a chock full of freaks. Anyway, and his name is Quintorius or Quintonius. He's a big elephant guy, and he is the Boros professor. He's a history professor in Strixhaven, and he is my new favorite character. He, in the original Strixhaven, flunked out of school, I believe, was his storyline. He was too obsessed with history and wanting to find out all the secrets of it, found this old artifact, used it or took it, and then that was horrendous and they were bad, so he got kicked out of Strixhaven. However, he, over the years, his storyline has been that he is so good at history and knows so much about it that people all over the realm have relied on him so many times that now he is back as a professor at Strixhaven Academy, even though he flunked out. And I think that is cute.
That's cute.
It's cute, and I like him a lot as a character. I think that's such a cool... that's just such a cool character. I really love him. And he hasn't changed colors. He's always been red, white. Anyway, he's a good lad.
And what
and I
is
like
the
him.
Color that you play?
I primarily play black, but I like mix what my other colors are. So a lot of my main commanders are what we call Sultai, which are the dragon lords, dragon tribes.
Sure, of course.
Of the dragon tribes, Sultai are the colors that I do, which is black, green, and blue. Are my
right,
three.
So you don't play red.
Literally, the other red, white are the two colors that I play the least out of every color of Magic. And this set exclusively has made me not only build a commander deck of red, white, but also build a standard deck of red, white as well. So standard is the 60 card format, which you only play one on one, which I've never had one of, and I should. And Commander is a 100-card format where you play with four or more. So it's just it's the set has done red so good that I'm now like, it's just because also in standard red is really good because the whole thing is that red is really fast, but in Commander red really sucks. It just doesn't have the backup or the huge cannon hits that a lot of other colors have. Except for like a handful of classics. But in this set, they've really, because the lore is that all of the colors are all fucked up and all the colors are doing stuff that they don't normally do, they have made red really good. Like they've put it so it can stand next to all these other colors, in my opinion anyway. Other people who actually know more about Magic might say otherwise, but I don't really care about them. But that is so cool. How fascinating. What a fascinating game design thing.
That's cool.
I've I went from yesterday knowing nothing about this world aside from, yeah, we're going back to Strixhaven, that's kind of cool. But I tend not to want to like get spoilers or like know what I'm going into with a pre-release. I just think it's more fun just to turn up and be like, oh, this is fun. To after the 4-hour event, walking away being like, this is actually so... I go to a lot of pre-releases, like pretty much every set, except for like Avatar and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I didn't care about. But I walked away from this being like, that is the best pre-release event I've done. Almost like cleaning house with everyone was crazy. So of a set in a pre-release, you play 3 games, and it's best of those 3 games. I went 2-0, so I just cleaned house on like all of my other games, and then in my last one I went 1-2, so I lost. But it was great. It's fucking the best. Great set, gang. Hey, for all those Magic fans out there, it's good. Anyway, how has your week been outside of me doing Magic the Gathering? I just want to know. We just haven't spoken in a minute. So
I
I'm
know
just
it's true. My week's been pretty dog shit work wise, but outside of work, not too terrible. I started a new book that I am obsessed with.
Didn't you just finish it? I thought you
I didn't
finished...
just finish it. I just started it. So you
tweeted that you something.
Oh, I just tweeted that it's good. And with sad faces, because this morning I sat outside and read about 6 chapters and then cried because
life is beautiful.
It got to me.
Yeah.
It's called The Last Mile in Thunder City. And it is a noir detective novel set in a land once magic. it's like a great world building where it's like this like if modern day Earth was populated by like tons of magical shit, dragons and vampires and werewolves and elves and fairies and witches and all of it, everyone. And then 10 years ago, humans, jealous that they didn't have access to the same kind of power that all of these other people did, formulated an army and tried to raid and siphon the river of magic, which is like the source of all magic in the world, and tried to take it for themselves. And in the process of doing so, they froze the river over and ended magic for everyone there. Like in an instant, dragons fell out of the sky. Elves aged hundreds of years in minutes. Like everyone lost access to everything. Werewolves, like their relationship to the transformation got mixed up. And so they like half transformed and froze that way. So werewolves are like these kind of grotesque, like, hybrid, partially transformed werebeasts forever. And then also like technology. I could talk about it forever. I think it's great. But the protagonist is a human PI who is very Jessica Jones. He's like a guilt-racked alcoholic PI who only caters to non-humans. He will not do work for humans, even though he's human himself. And I don't know his backstory yet, but I have a sneaking suspicion that it is because maybe he was on the wrong side of the war or something like that. I think it's something to do with that. But he is like very, very much like has some sort of a guilty conscience and is trying to work it out by only serving that population. And it's very good. And then I read one chapter that really made me fucking cry. It was just beautifully described and heartbreaking and beautifully written.
On my list after...
It's really good.
My 1,000-page novel.
Yeah.
It's written by...
It's written by the guy who plays Long John Silver in Black Sails. Really, really fun. And that's kind of how I found it. But I'm like, holy shit, this book is actually like legit.
It's legit.
Good.
It's good. Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. So I'm enjoying the hell out of that. And this morning was lovely. Elliot
beautiful.
And I basically made coffees and then went out into the backyard and each brought a book and then just read for like 2.5 hours while sipping coffee outside in like perfect weather. It was
great. My God.
Yeah, it was
a dream.
Excellent.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was actually like one of those like life is worth it kind of moments.
Yeah. Don't kill yourself.
Don't kill yourself.
You can read a book outside.
You can read a book outside with a coffee that you made at home. Oh my God. Yeah, sometimes it is that simple, and this morning it felt that simple.
Yeah.
Which was nice because this week at work was so there's that. Also, fun, I am trying to make my very first cyber deck.
What is that?
So a cyber deck is a kind of off-grid computer that can be contained in like one little vessel that you build from spare parts, essentially.
Oh, cool. Cool.
So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make a writer deck, which is just like, it's just going to be a word processor. It will not do anything else. It will not access the internet. It will just have an SD card that I can upload my stuff directly, and I can only use it to write. And that is it.
Cute.
So I have an old, functioning, but old and kind of beat up Kindle. And now that Kindle is kind of like, I think like stopping their support or something like that. I haven't used it in years anyway. It's been sort of gathering dust. And now I think Kindle's doing some fuck shit that I maybe heard through the grapevine and
probably
don't know what the
Amazon.
Specifics are.
Yeah.
Probably. So I have wiped it clean, like saved all of my data.
Yeah.
And wiped the device clean. And now I'm going to use that just as a screen.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah. And I have a, like some other, like, spare parts, like the cords and stuff are all like spare stuff that I've had around, like HDMI cords and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And now I am just trying to learn how to program a Raspberry Pi. And that is the first time I will be doing that.
That's really sick. We're becoming quite the technological savants in the house.
Oh, yeah.
I fixed up the shell of my Steam Deck and replaced a bunch
you
of parts
did.
In it.
That's right. You did do that.
Yeah. Which is fun. I think it was... We had finished recording and then we were just shooting the shit and I was like, oh yeah, you could get the like...
The, and then like, you bought the,
like, it. The purple like Game Boy Color translucent shell for a Steam Deck.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that would be so sick. And I Googled it and it does exist. And then I bought it, and then I spent like 6 hours one day after going to the gym just fixing up this Steam Deck. And it works. It works and looks fucking awesome.
I know, it looks so sick.
It looks so sick.
Yeah.
No, it's the coolest shit ever. I've bought a billion games so I could have more handheld game time because I have been playing so much Deadlock that I've kind of built it and then I didn't see it because it was either plugged in upstairs so I was using the main screen to play video games or I would be here on my computer playing video games. And I was like, I need to buy more games that I could play on a handheld.
But you
so
can play on the handheld.
So
Deadlock, you can't.
No,
is
it's
mouse
really...
Keyboard.
It's really, it's very intensive like that. But I was like, I just fixed up this whole thing and I haven't I haven't seen anything with it, which is actually, so if you're in the Discord, do you remember that we're recording?
Yeah, we are. Oh, yeah.
I know. It's just like, it's just crazy. I just remembered that we're recording and we're literally not shooting the shit. In the Discord, I posted a, because me and Charlotte were talking and she gave me a, like, a, it's like a 4x4 grid of video games that you like.
Oh, yes.
Best
yes,
soundtrack,
the, like,
favorite
best,
game.
Best, most overrated, best exactly. art. It's like a yeah. bunch of different things, yeah.
And she
oh,
said
yeah,
to me,
you told me
I
this, but
it,
yes, tell the
I
people.
I filled it out. I sent it to the Deadlock server that we all have, and they're all, like, games people. So then they were filling out the grids with games that I'd never even heard of. And then I posted it in the Dogspawn server, and then a bunch of people filled it out. A lot of which of either games I haven't heard of or games that I haven't really given a chance before. So I was like, sure, whatever. So my Steam library has gotten juiced.
Yeah.
Truly crazy. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 games I bought from
oh
people's recommendations. And I've been like... chugging through a decent chunk of them.
Oh, have you really?
I like, yeah.
Because that's so recent too. That's cool.
It really is. However, today, actually, this is actually fun because this is something that off mic I would have talked about anyway. Downloaded a game called Esoteric Ebb, which is so a lot of times when people make video games, there's like, oh yeah, this is inspired by this game and you can kind of see the bones of it. Esoteric Ebb is Disco Elysium. In every
oh yes, you were telling me
single
about this. Right,
conceivable
right, right.
way, except that it's fantasy. So instead of like these like kind of nebulous personality traits that are speaking to you, it's also when it's like it's fantasy, it is Dungeons and Dragons, not in like a, oh yeah, it's fantasy. It's based on Dungeons and Dragons. I'm talking like. There's like third level necromancer spells. There is like, you know, they're talking about things in a way that's like, this is like, I'm worried that they were going to get in trouble about how clearly this was just a D&D game. But it's also fun because it's so stupid, hyper political. It takes play. Anyway, it's a really crazy choice game, and I was like, this would be a good, we should play Disco Elysium and then we should play Esoteric Ebb after, because they are the same in every way.
Yeah.
It's really it's great. They're like it's really fun. You quote unquote have to play a cleric, but you don't. You kind of solidify your class in talking to people, and I am a cleric anyway. I'm being a very... so it is 5 days before the first ever election. And there's a lot of people vying for that
seat.
Oh,
wow.
And you're kind of like figuring out what your alignment is. But they also talk about things interestingly. They talk about alignment as like a thing that's in the world. There's like, yes, people have like they're like alignments don't work, but people's perception of how... you know, the neutral, the like lawful chaotic alignment chant is, will like set you on a, you're this, even though it's like, well, that doesn't fit me because of all this. And it talks about it. It's interesting. It's a weird one, but it's fun to play a game that's like, this is directly Dungeons and Dragons. But then also, I'm not sure, I've only played like an hour and a half of it, I think. I'm not sure how much is like a hard critique of it or how much is like a, you know, just kind
yeah,
of
yeah
this was this guy's world, and then he kind of put it into a video game, but it's good. It's really, it's fascinatingly well
yeah
made.
No, that sounds really cool.
It's cool. It really, really is. I really like it. Anyway, speaking of video games, Dylan, what
this
are we fucking doing?
My name is Dylan and I've never played, wait, I've played one Fallout game. I played Fallout New Vegas.
Hello beautiful people, my name is Bobbins. I have played Fallout New Vegas 100,000,001 times. And this is Dogspawn, where we talk about video games like a book club. You would be remiss if you wouldn't be remiss. I would not chastise you if you didn't know that this is a video game book club, considering the last 30 minutes of recorded time where Dylan and I just kind of spoke like we were on a call.
Yeah, tough.
We have just finished Fallout New Vegas. Before we get to the finale, is there anything that you did?
I kind of have to talk about a lot, so I'll kick us off a little bit here. Let me see where my notes are. Okay, so basically, if you remember, before we started on doing the DLC pathways, there was a lot of stuff that Robin already tackled that I was having such a tough time with the game itself that I had not gotten to, or like that I had gotten to but wasn't able to finish or like get through in order to do it. And so there was some stuff that I definitely needed to do before going into the actual final thing. So I think the number one for sure was that I needed my gang back. I was so tired of having my gang taken away from me. Namely, my gang is and has been through the end, Edie and Raoul. That is that's the team. That's the juice right there. Edie does mention Eddie, and I didn't write down exactly what happens, but just that's
pretty fun.
There's like a mention that happens, which is cool, from the last DLC that we did last week. And then did I do this first or second? The first thing is that I wanted to get more I didn't do it first because I didn't have enough. I wanted to do Raoul's personal quest because I knew I wasn't going to have time to do every companion's personal quest, but I liked Raoul the best, I think. And I wanted him with me in endgame. So first things first, though, is that I went and pulled the plug on Mr. House.
I can't believe he was still alive. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
I just was like, oh, sorry, I forgot to unplug you. sorry, I forgot to just fucking unplug you.
That's so fun. And you did you know that he was just a decrepit old man?
No, I had zero clue.
Love that.
No.
And that's like, yeah, fun.
No, I was like, oh, this is easy. I love it.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
and now you're dead. Great. Love that. I had to go back. Oh, maybe this was first, but I had to go back to the bunker that I couldn't get to, Mr. House's bunker.
Fortification Hill. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hadn't been able to do that, so I had to go back there. I decided not to upgrade the Securitrons.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which I feel like I'm supposed to be upset about, but I'm not. And I guess
I mean, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was that. Okay. Did that. And then I think by around here, I was able to like cycle through Raoul's, dialogue and get,
So were you able to walk through Fortification Hill, or did you shoot your way through Fortification Hill?
So it seemed way less bad than the last time.
Yeah, because your level is now juiced.
My level's now juiced. I don't know. Maybe I might be overthinking this. But I felt like it was Legion, sorry. A little bit less Legion than I thought the last time I was there. Or that might be because last time I was there, I was apparently playing on hard difficulty.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is.
And that's what it is.
It's like, it's the same amount of Legion, like, every time. There's no...
It is the same
They're,
amount.
Like, set NPCs. You're just better now. You're better I'm at just the better game, now. So you just kind of crushed them.
Yeah, so yeah, I had to... the short answer is I did have to shoot my way through. I did not. Uh-huh. I did not try to sneak past. There was no way. Okay. So then... Raul basically, like brings you on like a little, like tryst down memory lane for him, where he makes you go and visit like people from his past, as an old gunslinger. And in the end, you kind of influence him whether or not to like go back to gunslinging or to like go like take a new path, and go on a new path in life. And so I convinced him to take a new path. I was like, let's try something else, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he gets a brand new outfit.
Cute.
Which is fun. So then I had that. I had already done Edie's all of her personal quests and stuff. So that was good. And I did a couple of other things. Like I wanted to meet everybody in the factions to make sure, because I had decided that I, despite your warnings about it maybe being a tough or complicated ending, I was like, I just don't think that I cannot imagine a world in which this character Ace would side with either the NCR.
Yeah, or the
obviously
Legion.
Would never side with the Legion, but the NCR.
Yeah.
Like I just can't imagine it. So the independent route was in my mind the only way that we could go.
Yeah, good.
So yeah, I think that's the broad strokes of it. That's like kind of where I caught up. I moved into the second battle of Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
What about you? Did you have anything else you had to do?
I had a minor thing. I have continuously talked about going to Jacobstown. Thing which I had not done this game for some reason, and then was like, fuck it, I'm gonna go to Jacobstown. So I made the long trek over. It is in the middle of the mountains. It is a ski resort that has been taken over entirely by super mutants, run by Marcus. Yay! I know Marcus because he is a companion in Fallout 2.
Yeah, okay.
And I like him a lot. He's a really interesting companion. He's a super mutant who was part of the lead villain from Fallout 1's army, the Master. The Master was creating a bunch of super mutants. He's the reason super mutants exist in the first place. And it pretty much every super mutant, if they were alive at that time, were on the Master's side, being the villains. And then post Fallout 1, whether you either kill him or convince him that his plan is ridiculous and he kills himself. In Fallout 2, Marcus then is like, oh shit, I've done so much bad. Goes to just a small town and then becomes the mayor of this small town. The small town has humans, ghouls, and super mutants all living together and working as a collective. And then if you get the town in such good standing that the town is like it's self-sufficient and can run, Marcus then agrees to leave with you. He's an optional, as all of them are in Fallout 2, all optional characters to bring along. But in this universe, he goes with the guy who is the Fallout 2 companion, destroys the Enclave's oil rig, and then he parts ways with the lead character from Fallout 2, walks all the way to the Mojave, and then sets up the resort, which is the which is Jacobstown, which he names after an old friend who died, who I also believe is in Fallout 2, is Jacob. The idea is that it's just a safe haven for all super mutants. So there's a bunch of Nightkin there, and there's a bunch of super mutants. There is your final companion, not final companion. There is the final companion that you can pick up in Jacobstown called Lily, who is a super mutant or a Nightkin. She is a grandmother who got turned into a Nightkin super mutant and has kind of gone crazy, obviously, because she's been alive for hundreds of years.
I just want to say I'm really excited by this. I feel like I was thinking that I didn't encounter Nightkin enough. Like,
yeah,
this is great. Anyway, keep going. I'm happy for this.
Yeah. And there's a quest line that you do there, which is you're finding out what Night Stalkers are. Night Stalkers we encountered a lot in the Old World Blues DLC, but they are also in this section of Jacobstown. They are these like rattlesnake coyote hybrids that can turn invisible, and you find out why they can turn invisible, and it's because they keep eating Nightkin's stealth boys. After they kill Nightkin, they can then turn invisible. And you find this because there is a human scientist, the only human in Jacobstown, who is trying to find a cure for the Nightkin's, like, psychosis that they go through, or extreme paranoia about stealth boys, because Nightkin hate being looked at, because they get really paranoid because they're normally invisible and they feel like people are watching them all the time. So then they keep using stealth boys, but stealth boys have a very, very negative effect on Nightkin, but not so much on humans. Yeah. So then this scientist creates a second stealth boy, a second type of stealth boy that doesn't make the Nightkins, you know, have worse mental side effects, but then also has a cure for those problems that they have if you do all these things. And then Lily can go with you. Lily has a very sweet story. She, I believe, I didn't do it this time, but I believe it's because she can't remember her grandkids, or like starts thinking that everyone is her grandkids. And you kind of make her have these lucid moments, and then you can like, you just kind of walk through her life as a human and then her watching everyone that she knows die and becoming a Nightkin herself. And then, you know, where she goes up to here. So you kind of walk her through that life. It's cute.
That is cute.
I didn't have her with me for a lot of the time because I'm evil and every single companion has left me.
Oh my God, that's right. I totally forgot. Yeah, that happened before we went into the DLCs.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So I, after doing all this, decided to do a bit of a Dragon Age Origins where I did I finished this game twice on two different playthroughs just
to
see what the differences were.
Soldier, I'll tell you what.
I went to Fortification Hill. I decided, yes, I'm going to join with the Legion and we're going to do this together.
Holy shit. Wow. Wow.
So you go to the Battle of the Hoover Dam as the Legion. I then went to Yes Man, and I decided I'm going to fight this as an independent, but an independent in a way that's like, I am evil, and I'm doing this for power gain.
Oh, wait, sorry. Clear this up for me.
Okay.
These are the two different options. You cannot declare an independent and fight at the battle with Legion. You can't do that in the same place.
No.
These are your two
separate. These are two different playthroughs. So I did one as
Legion
and
one where you fought as an
independent. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. But with the fact I went as an independent, the Yes Man has way more stuff that he wants you to do than the Legion does. Because Yes Man has two more factions who are both aligned with the Legion that he's like, hey, we should swing them to us. That the Legion obviously is like, we don't care about them. They're going to fight for us. They're on our side. One, which is the Great Khans, which is in Red Rock Canyon, where I went there. I essentially executed most of the town. And then I went back and I was like, yeah, it's all done. It's fine. We've sorted all that out. Because my stealth being 100 and all of the things that we've gotten from all the DLCs makes me a fucking ghost. I'm crouching in front of people. I shoot them in the head. If they don't die instantly, they're like, what was that? And then I do it again. It's crazy. It's very classic Bethesda. Like, what was that noise? As I put a bomb and I strap it to their chest. And they're like,
oh,
huh, something strange is going on here. And then they'd walk away and blow up. Which is how, spoiler alert, how I did both of the damn fights. I didn't shoot a single shot in either of the Battle of the Hoover Dams. I crouched. And I snuck my way to the end. If I did shoot, which in the Legion playthrough I decided I wanted to shoot a lot, I was one shot, one killing every single thing I came across. However, the final boss of both playthroughs, I didn't do at all, which was fun. I talked my way out of both of them.
Nice.
I'm the fucking best tongue the West has ever seen.
Which, so I did with the Great Khans, I did convince them
to not join
break
Legion.
Alliance with the yep. Legion, which they were only in alliance with the Legion because of Papa Khan.
Papa Khan
is his real name.
Yeah.
So I don't think, and I had gotten the impression that nobody else agreed with that anyway, so it seemed like a no-brainer to kind of convince them out of it.
There's a couple of people who they have been sold all of the lies of the Legion. So there's right. one woman who's like, yeah, I want to do it because, like, I want to join the Legion because they told me that I was going to be like a general and all this stuff, and you could just say nope. That's a lie. They're going to sell you into slavery because you're a woman. And then she's right. like, oh, shit. Yeah, I don't want to do this. One of them, you can find a journal entry or like a book, like the journal of the guy who's like, yeah, we're just going to execute all these people as soon as we're done with the Battle of Hoover Dam. And then the two drug makers, both of them listen to each other. You have to just speak to the brother and be like, yeah, they're going to sell your sister into slavery unless you banish them from here. It's a fun little storyline. It's interesting. Mm. It's cool because the Legion have this very, like, very anti-drug stance, and the Great Khans just make drugs. So it's a fun thing of, like,
as you meet them, you're like, this is, they're not gonna
let you stay here. Yeah,
they're fucking with you. Yeah. Like, right off the bat,
they are literally using you for bodies in a war, and then the second it's done, they're going to come in and execute all of
and
you.
And that's it.
Yeah. But I joined as the Legion. The first thing you do in the Battle of Hoover Dam.
Okay. Wait. What are you deciding is canon?
I think it's probably the Legion one.
Okay, so then tell me that one first, and then I might want to hear your thoughts also on the other one.
So you start. How do you pronounce his name? It's Legat.
Legate is what I think it is.
Legate Lennius? Lennos?
Yeah. I think it's Legate. Yeah.
You meet him, and then. He has now, this is why I did a separate run, because he is now the leader of the Legion.
Right.
Because Caesar is dead, so he now becomes the de facto leader of the Legion.
Right.
Because he's the second in command. I was like, well, Jake wants to be the leader of the Legion, because through all of the DLCs, and also speaking to Ulysses is like, yeah, the Legion aren't going to work anymore because Caesar's dead. Because he died, it will fall apart. The other guy is like, is way too violent, has none of the understanding of holding areas or charisma to bring new people along. It just won't work. Which is a a sentiment that is shared by a lot of people in the real world who, not in the real world, sorry, in the overworld of Vegas, who when you're talking to them, they're like, now that Caesar's dead, the Legion is going to fall soon.
Right.
There's really no two ways about it. And because I was like, well, my canon run is that, because in the Fallout season 2 TV show, we see that there are now two Caesars, because when a Caesar dies, someone else rises up to take his place.
Right.
And I was like, Jake is one of those people that rises up and takes the place of Caesar because he's insanely charismatic. It's kind of his whole thing. He talks his way through any situation. The first stat to be 10 was speech and barter.
Right.
But with the canon of the game being like, no, this guy's in charge. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I want to see how it would work if I was an independent. But I'm going as an independent to join the Legion. Like, I'm going to win the Hoover Dam and then be like, Legion, I control you now. Which is a whole like self-canonization. Okay, yeah. Like, that's how it kind of works in my head.
That's how you're playing.
But yeah, you do this. Your goal is to break into the Hoover Dam power plant. Mm-hmm. And then fight all the way through to the final room and then find the Captain Oliver, I believe his name is, who is the captain of the NCR, of this sect of the NCR, and then kill him. Or a thing which I think is interesting is the Legate, or the Legat, whatever how you pronounce it, is like, yeah, you can just talk him out of it. That's also fine. Like, just convince him to leave. Which is a move I didn't foresee for the Legion, but I think it's interesting that he's like, yeah, I don't mind if he lives as long as he just leaves Hoover Dam. I used all of my stealth boys and my absolutely outstanding stealth to literally crouch walk in the entire way to the power plant.
Shut up.
Not a single person
saw
me.
If
at any point people... Like, if any point I would pass through people, I would just VATS headshot them in one and then keep crouching. Not a single shot was fired at
Stop
me
it.
In my direction.
You're fucking joking.
Because I was the best, the highest stealth that you could be in this game. I didn't know that this was possible either. It was very fun. Literally,
oh my
I never.
God.
My little tag of hidden up top never left the hidden section. It may have gone to caution once because I was in the middle of a firefight, but that's all it went to. It was never the danger you're getting shot at. It was always hidden caution. I snuck all the way
in. I just want to say, bullets, flamethrowers. bullets, flamethrowers, dynamite. I went back home and stocked up on dynamite first. can only be described as a chaotic mess to get into this power plant. What you're saying to me right now is insane.
Yeah, I fully snuck in. I just snuck my entire way in.
Hey, dorks. Our friends over at Soul Muppet Publishing are launching a very special event that you should definitely check out.
Orbital Blues Month starts April 1st and features 6 different creators crowdfunding their supplemental content for the sad space cowboy game Orbital Blues.
I've played Orbital Blues a couple of times now, and this game really lives up to its hype. So more NPCs, more adventures, and more settings in which to traumatize your space cowboys with is always going to be good.
And each of these campaigns will come with a single from Incredible Behold, who has already created the bass soundtrack for the game, as heard on My First Dungeon, and will come with a custom sticker related to each new project by Joshua Clark.
Please go check out the full event and campaigns on BackerKit starting April 1st at 11 a.m. Eastern Time.
Got her!
Go!
Oh my God! He threw.
Here
he
we
threw
go!
The chair. He threw the chair,
and now he's getting it back
All
because
right.
we're gonna have to. Sit.
We are in Casey's home. That was Casey's actual chair.
You look out of the window and you see a Toyota Previa upside down
on fire.
Oh, oh my God. Oh.
But it's not nearby any trees or anything, so it's fine.
On fire.
It was fine. It's not fine to me, GM. Jesus Christ, that's my fucking car.
Dynamite headbutt.
He screams as he headbutts this man.
Honestly, his left jaundiced eyeball pops out of his head.
Oh, and if you were to take a picture the second their two heads were touching, it might have been an intimate, tender scene between friends or lovers. But if you were to take a picture at any other second, yeah, it is just absolutely horrifying.
For some men, violence is a form of intimacy, which is so sad.
That is
maybe
so
for
sad.
This man, but anyway. Smashed in the head.
Bodhi has a pocket full of like one oversized precious moment angel that has a real strange face.
Oh, I thought that was your dick.
Oh, it was his dick. There's a hole in his pocket and his penis, which does resemble a precious moment angel with a strange face.
Oh, it's a strange face, but it actually looks like a pretty normal penis head.
And that's what we call facts.
He looks back and he says one last threatening phrase, pointing to the bar.
I'm gonna... And Violet shoots him in the head.
You see this guy's ear get blown off, flying off his head.
Ah! Bye-bye.
And then at this point, Scratch pops up like a mummy.
Ah, mummy! Headbutt!
Dynamite headbutt!
Something is rising, piecing itself together from the bodies and viscera around it. Its black wings spread, and it looks back at you with red, wet eyes.
Gutter.
There
okay,
are
continue,
two.
My God.
You fight through three different stages of the power plant, and that's fine. It didn't matter to me. I was sneaking all around. I got in, and then Captain Oliver, right at the end. Very fun in a cutscene that I just couldn't remember happening because I just don't remember this side of this fight. Because it's you either are trying to get to the Legion camp or you're going the other way and trying to get into the power plant. Or if you're doing independent, you do a bit of both.
You do both.
You go into the power plant and then you go to the Legion camp. But yeah, going into the power plant is great. I snuck all the way in. I saw him and I appealed to his sense of duty to his men. I said, why are we fighting? You've already lost. And he said, fine, I'll die here. And I said, yeah, you'll die here. What about your men? What about the families they have? The women and children that belong to them, like that, they'd all die. You'd kill all your men and then we'd go and we'd take everyone else. That just feels cruel. Are you a cruel man, Oliver? And he says, no, I guess not. I just, like, it's, this is the most important thing the NCR has. I'm like, sure. Why don't you leave? Regroup. Talk to the NCR. And they're like, well, the NCR will never take this loss. I'm like, hey, that's fine. You live, you and your men leave with your lives. Isn't that nicer? And he said, yes, I guess it is. And then runs away. And then I turn around and I'm like, the Legion won. And the Legion are like, yay.
Whoa. And then that's all that you needed to do. Yeah.
And then I have the closing remarks that happen at the end of every Fallout game where it shows you every single decision that you have had.
Oh, yeah.
And the impact.
Crazy good that they do that, actually. I thought that was cool and way more comprehensive than I expected it to be.
And that's the thing. I'm really, really glad that we got to this point. Because I think, especially in games like this, you know, you have your Oblivions, your Skyrims, your Elder Scrolls. And it's like, when people say, oh, Fallout New Vegas is just about making choices all the time, it just doesn't feel like it is until you hit the end and it's like, hey, here is, it's not even everything. They don't run down everything. They run down a lot of what you've done. But if you... Like, there are choices that I know we've made that haven't got these closing remarks on. Because when I went independent, I got different ones because of other choices. Like, it was like other things just took precedent over things. Anyway, it's just a really cool rundown. And if you do the Legion playthrough, where you've made every wrong choice and every single companion has left the saddest that they can be, you just have... truly the most horrific ending.
I have been waiting for this.
Raoul is said to never be at peace with himself ever.
No!
The boomers went back into isolation because they had already conquered the skies. Brotherhood of Steel, the entire sector die. Veronica says that her soul is dead because of all the horrific shit that you've done. All of the fiends were killed. The followers of the apocalypse were found and slaughtered in New Vegas. Good Springs decayed into nothing. The Khans were entirely destroyed. Jacobstown was a haven. That's nice. Lily was had lived a completely unsatisfying life until she ended up taking her own life. Freeside was destroyed beyond comprehension. Novak became completely abandoned. The NCR was also completely abandoned in this section of the Mojave. The Sheriff of Prim was executed after he forced every single member of Prim to do a standoff against the Legion, and then the Legion decided to kill every single one of them. It was truly just like a... Oh, and then also it was like the Legion had an iron fist over all of Vegas. They went in and they slaughtered everyone. They shut down the Strip because the Strip was just frivolous, all this frivolity and stuff. And unless you follow strict Legion rules, then what are we doing here? However, it does say that they don't hold it forever because the Legion without Caesar has no knowledge of how to hold things, but also the Legion is stretched way too thin. And that type of fascism just breeds rebellion, and they don't hold it forever. It's a fascinating ending, and it's truly it's saying like the courier did all this stuff, and even his legacy just died pretty much
is trash forever.
It's great. It's good. It's a fun ending, and I liked it a lot. I really love the fact that you can just avoid a final boss. I love that. Just by talking your way out of it.
Yeah. I was able to do the same convincing with the NCR. I obviously
but the
did
Legion
not
guide.
Feel inclined to speak to the Legion. But overall that battle was a bloodbath with many deaths on many sides, including my own a couple of times.
So with the independent ending, you have to go into the Hoover Dam and you need to pick what you want Yes Man to do. He can either wake up all of the Securitrons in the fort and then they will slaughter all of the Legion and then fire their way inward throughout Hoover Dam, or you can blow up the dam so nobody can use the dam, the objectively horrific thing to do because then all the power is gone.
Exactly.
I picked blow up the dam. What
of course
did you pick?
Yeah, of course you did. No. We raided with the Securitrons.
It's pretty cool fighting with a bunch of robots. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool. I feel like I would have gotten a better lay of the land if I was better at this game, because I did feel like I was fighting for my life in a stream of chaos the entire time.
Yeah.
But it was cool. So here is what I was really nervous about, because weeks ago, before we started to do the DLCs, and it was like I was leaning towards doing the independent, you know, you were kind of like, the independent is like really like...
It's hard. It's hard to successfully do.
It's hard, and it's like maybe not a good ending. And so like, I feel... like the parts that in my ending slides, because in the end, you defeat the NCR and you defeat the Legion, and you like you get sent like people from different factions that that you've done quests for, so like. Oh my God, who did I? The Great Cons sent people. I forget who else sent people, but you are not like
of the groups that you have helped.
From them, which is cool. Also, love that.
It's cool.
I think that I had probably a harder time because I don't think I did as many as I could have, and sure. I think that I was a little short. Which is fine. But then, okay. Blah, 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 blah. So then at the end, after you have like declared an independent New Vegas, it's described that like chaos breaks out into the streets for like a while.
Yeah.
Then they're sort of like, everybody kind of like settles down after a bit and like figures it out. And then you, and now for me, for my career, for Ace, was recognized like for freeing New Vegas. And for having like broken tyranny and that freeing us from the control of the NCR and Legion for good or whatever. So very genuinely,
that's
not bad.
That's pretty good. That's
chaos
good. That's
in
fun.
The streets for a while, anarchy in the streets for a little while.
Yeah,
but ultimately.
But ultimately, people just calm down.
Ultimately, good outcome. We also, I got
That's
a
great.
Slide that, I got a slide about Tabitha.
Yeah, at the radio station where you find Raoul. Yeah,
right. I guess it wasn't about Tabitha, but it was about Black Mountain, and it was about like the other Nightkin journeying to some place, a name that I don't remember.
Jacobstown.
Oh, to Jacobstown. Okay, cool. Yeah. So they're all trying to find
Jacobstown. In Black Mountain, they talk about Jacobstown a lot. They like ended up like Neil stays there and funnels people to Black Mountain a lot.
Wow.
A fan of his journey.
Awesome. Raoul made peace with life. This is, I think, the only. Oh, no. I think I got a slide about Edie, too. But I think this is the only companion I got a slide about was Raoul, because I finished his full quest. But like he's made peace with the idea of growing old.
Love it.
We love. Oh, my gosh. Any more important ones? There were so many. And I didn't take great notes, but there
okay.
was Good Springs. Good Springs is great. Good Springs is a great town.
Love that. Becoming a tourist attraction. People go to see where the courier died and rose from the dead.
Yes, that's it.
Which is pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. The Great Cons. I got a slide about them with
They move up to Wyoming, right? They make a great,
right. They go to Wyoming.
A really powerful.
Right.
Empire.
They go to rest somewhere. Yeah. which I thought was fun. And they join up with the followers of the apocalypse.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's a
which is cool because I did like them too.
Yeah. No, that's also a very cool thing because the followers of apocalypse are kind of like just the good guys of the Fallout world. They're like just all doctors and are actually trying to do good things. And the Great Khans are notoriously kind of the villains. Or they're not necessarily the villains. They're just like, they are the drug mules and makers. So they're not necessarily loved upon. But it's pretty cool that they ended up joining together and then doing something good with all of that power that they have. I like it. I think it's sweet if you like help them.
Yeah. Prim is independent, which is fun.
Yeah.
Because Prim, way back, I like had convinced the NCR to look after Prim, and they don't do a good job at all at anything. Yeah. But yeah, so now Prim is.
Didn't you convince the robot? I thought you had convinced the robot.
Oh, right. I convinced the robot. Sorry. I did convince the robot. I was like, somebody was taking care of Prim. you're right. It was not. It was Prim Slim who was taking care of Prim. Yep. And Prim is an independent town now and doing well, and it's good.
That's really fun. Yeah, because I convinced the sheriff to be part of Prim, and in the independent ending, he is a very classic, like, cowboy kind of sheriff character, where he has a very specific set of rules that people follow, and it's kind of fine. It's like people enjoy it, and it is a generally very safe place because he takes care of all the problems. But then in the Legion ending, he just has a showdown with all the Legion and forces everyone else to join because it's like do or die, and then they all die.
Nice.
Yeah, it's an interesting weird one.
Edie has an interesting one, because Edie's is like one is like specifically mentions that she was with the courier the whole time. Which is true. Basically, she's the first companion I pick up, and I kept her almost exclusively with me, except for the DLCs. It says that, and then, but then it also says that the followers of the apocalypse got information from Edie.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, on the courier, I think, and also maybe like harnessing energy. Because I had the followers of the apocalypse upgrade her, so they have access to her data files now, and stuff like that. And I think that's all the ones that I remember that stuck out to me as pretty important.
Love.
Yeah. But honestly, love. I think I got like a pretty decent ending.
Yeah, that sounds really good. That feels like one of the best ones. The reason why I say it's really tough is because, it was really tough. And I was a little like, I think I kind of forgot a lot of how, I think all of my like background knowledge of it got mixed together where I was like, isn't it that it just kind of sucks it going independent? And it's not that it sucks going independent. It's just a lot of the like, negative stuff that can happen is fixed by like the NCR. They go and they fix it, and it's like it's slow and sucks, but it's like, you know, there's a quote-unquote society that is built there. But then in independence, it's like you have to go do that yourself, and you can get better endings, you can get like it, you can make it good, but it's like you have to play more of the game to do so, convince the people. It's like, okay, so if we're going to be independent, you have to actually be kind of chill and good and normal.
I think the thing that I was like sensing was maybe not good, or like maybe could have been not good, is the like years of anarchy seemed like it was kind of like this is the payoff to doing this yourself. So I went and looked that up because I was curious if that was like, if that part was just like default what happens when you go independent. But that part is apparently from me not upgrading the Securitron. So like if you upgrade all the Securitrons before the battle, the Securitrons restore order right away for you. And there's no years of anarchy. What I read at least doesn't say that anything bad happened, necessarily, but yeah. like the idea that a bunch of these armed robots restored order immediately after you kind of like destroyed all that infrastructure yeah. does feel like it's implying that this was pretty bad in a yeah. different way. So I was like, okay, I feel comfortable with the anarchy in the streets for a few years.
Yeah. There's also a very minor thing of going independent. If you do this, Yes Man, who is your kind of yeah. robot companion this whole time, who's helping you do all this, in one of the last cutscenes of the game, he tells you that he switches off all of his... He upgrades himself to be more assertive and less of a yes man, which yeah. is also kind of implying that he will become a villain in the future.
In the future, absolutely.
Because yeah. the way that he talks about stuff is like, he's agreeing with everything you say, but his language in agreeing with the things that you're doing is like, ooh, this is, you're speaking in a way that I hope you don't become sentient. And then, like, one of the last scenes, he's like, so I forced myself to become sentient and I can do all this. And it's like,
I'll
deal with that later. That's really bad.
Yeah.
Big thing. Huge thing that I forgot to bring up. I assassinated the president of the NCR and I forgot to bring it up.
Is this prior to doing the playthrough split? Like, is this like yes. canon in both? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The Legion asks you to go and assassinate the president of the NCR. If you're joining the Legion, they ask you to go assassinate Caesar.
Whoa.
You go to the president of the NCR doing this big talk on Hoover Dam to a bunch of soldiers. You need to sneak in and you can kill him in any like amount of ways. It's like, it's truly huge. You can kill him in silent, you like sneak into his room and all this stuff. What I decided to do is, because I rerouted the power to the Helios One to arm Archimedes, which is the orbital laser cannon that I now control, I waited for him to do his little speech.
Oh my god, I continuously forget that you have control of the Archimedes cannon.
Waited for him to land, do his fun little speech, and then halfway through, I was sat on a tower like 100 meters away, and then I ordered the orbital laser cannon to fire directly on his position, and I just kind of not nuked is the wrong word, but I definitely sent an orbital laser directly in his way. And
yeah,
I did,
of course.
I did assassinate the president of the NCR, which I did bring up to Oliver later, that the reason why this is going to be hard to hold is because the president of the NCR is dead, and he should probably bounce. And he's like, yeah, you're probably
right,
actually.
Oh, that's actually a very important detail, yeah.
Yeah.
My question for you is why would Jake... What's Jake's... motivation for sparing the head of the NCR
and the head of the Legion general. As well. He did both.
And head of the Legion. Head of the Legion kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah.
At the very least,
Oh my god. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much for bringing this up. I actually didn't spare the head of the NCR. I got my Securitron robots to throw him off of the Hoover Dam.
After you convinced him to surrender men?
Yep, to stand down. I got my Securitrons to, much like Joshua Graham.
Just like Joshua Graham.
I covered him and tossed him a fire and then threw him off.
This is fun, but this doesn't seem like Jake. I'm putting a pin in this to ask why.
No, I threw him off. Hoover Dam. So you can talk him out of it. Interestingly, you can talk the legate into standing down by convincing him that he will never be able to hold this territory.
Sure.
Which is a very fun check. You need 100 barter. You do not need 100 speech to do this. You can't convince him with 100 speech. You can only convince him with 100 barter by convincing him about trade routes and knowing stuff about Legion history.
I don't even think I saw that option. I don't even think that appeared for me. I have
no
barter.
So much. But you can convince Oliver to stand down through 100 speech, which I did. And then after he stood down, him with his like lines of NCR troopers, NGR rangers, I then I can't remember what the dialogue choice was, but I told my Securitrons to take him to the top of Hoover Dam and throw him off of it. Because no one was able to stop me at that point. I went drunk with power. I was the most powerful person in all. And the independent ending, if you're evil, comments on the fact that you are literally the most powerful person in all of Vegas.
Holy shit.
And it's way more of like a everything, like everything went just horrendous.
You're the worst guy.
I literally, like, they are all independent, but that chaos in the streets, like, it petered out kind of, but it was a very unstable petering out of power there.
Is there anything like on your end sides about how the people of New Vegas feel about the courier when you do the independent one?
Or even for
either of yours?
I think it's the Legion one is I'm a horror story.
Okay, that makes sense.
The reason why everything is hell. The independent one, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that there might have been one that is like, it is, the opinion of me is overwhelmingly negative.
Because your karma, I imagine, cannot be very good.
Devil. Like, yeah. It's, my karma is the lowest it can be in the game, and I think it's, oh my god, I can't remember exactly what my my thing is called, but it's called something. It's something like the literal devil or something like that, where I'm viewed as like a horrific figure. Which is fun. That's Vegas. And
that's,
it's fun,
Vegas,
because
baby.
A big part of why I wanted to do independent also is because I wanted to put them side by side with yours to see kind of how different each of them were.
Yeah, because I mean, I ended that game with my karma never dipped, pretty much ever.
Yeah, being kind.
Yeah, like, I mean, just so few instances where anything like that dipped. I was afraid of that ending and I was afraid of what it would be, but I'm actually like pleasantly surprised by how good a good independent ending actually reads from the game. What I mean by that was I was scared that the game was gonna scold me for not siding with the NCR. Because
no,
I feel like a lot of games would do that. They would
and
be
they
like...
would, because it's a thing which I really like, and I think this is something that a lot of people also really like about this game, is that the NCR in every other game are the villains. Are the heroes.
Right.
In every other game are the heroes. But in this game, they're like... The incompetence of that level of control is consistently stated to the point where it's like, oh yeah, they want to make things go back to old America. America did not work and will never work. And it's kind of like, you know, they're talking about literally how the politics of the US and most of the Western world are now, and how it's like, yeah, it's stated a bunch of like, they never commit any crimes because they make it law and then they do it anyway. They're like constantly doing it. It asks you the question. It's like, yeah, they're never breaking the law, but the law doesn't mean morality. They just make the horrendously immoral things they do
legal.
Oh, this is fine.
Yeah.
It's not legal.
It's fine. It's fine because we did it essentially. Yeah, exactly. Which I'm very glad about. I'm glad that the independent ending has the potential to be a good ending. And that was something that I was like, I feel like that's going to piss me off. It's going to irritate me if like I'm penalized for not siding with the NCR. And I'm happily surprised that was not how this went at all. And that like there is a good there is a good ending, like, essentially.
Yeah.
Like,
it's arguably the only good ending is, like, putting in the work and being independent is the only good ending.
Yeah. And having spent the whole game trying to make the best choices you can, like, which I know is, like, you know, maybe not the most interesting character development wise, like, for making, like, an RPG character, but if you're going to be the leader of an independent region, you should be a guy who tries his
who
best
tries really hard.
Sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
So I thought that that was a really good, I thought that that was actually a very good ending. I am curious if you felt like the end of the game, because for me it was a fight and a shit show.
Yeah.
Do you feel like sneaking past it felt anticlimactic at all, or like
I love this stuff.
Yeah.
This is a thing that Fallout does that other games also do. I'm not saying that this is a super unique thing.
Yeah.
But it is truly a thing that I think is so outstanding, which is you can talk, like, you can talk your way out of the, you can make the final fights not happen. In Fallout 1, I mentioned it briefly earlier, you can convince the master with, like, the max science that you can possibly get, and also getting evidence in the world that his plan just won't ever work.
Yeah.
And you don't do the final fight. You don't do most of the fight going to that point. It's the same in it's not the same in Fallout 2, to be fair, but you can skip a whole bunch of content in Fallout 2 by convincing people, you know, things. But also in this, being able to essentially skip it is great. It means that all of the things that I've done in my character, like, I don't want to do a whole war. That's not what my character would do. He would sneak if he
could.
Right,
he's a coward.
And he
right,
can.
Right, right. No, it makes so much,
like,
sense. That is
you?
Cool. Yeah,
because
that is really cool. Yeah. Which is so fun, by the way, to pick a character that always chooses, like, talking over shooting, but in an evil way, because I do feel like that usually means, oh, you're playing a diplomatic character that's going to try to resolve things
peacefully.
But
I'm trying to manipulate everyone.
You're trying to manipulate everyone. That's a fun twist on a guy, on an RPG guy.
I had a lot of fun doing an evil run in this. I faltered a decent chunk in it because a lot of the quote-unquote most evil options do skip a lot of content. And also in The Lonesome Road, it's like I'd never played this before, so I actively didn't do all the... Because I was thinking, I was like, why didn't I bomb everyone? I'm an evil guy. Like, it makes sense for me to... Like, I talked Ulysses out of the fight, which I was really happy with, because that is what I wanted to do. Because again, whoa, please don't shoot me. I did exactly the same in Old World Blues. Whoa, please don't shoot me. I also did the exact same in Honest Hearts, actually. Like, in every chance I could, I talked my way out of the fight. And I faltered a lot in it because it was kind of hard to make a lot of those choices and also have it interesting to talk about later.
I think it has been. I think it's been a cool, like, a juxtaposition to having, like,
an interesting switch.
Right. Like, I feel like I have played maybe not, like, the default character. But, like, at least in terms of, like, the good versus evil side of things, I played, like, the kind of good character that most people will probably play on their first playthrough. Like, doing the good guy stuff. Or at least trying to. And then you got to be, like, the kind of, like, hey, here's how that could go if you try to play a character a different way, which I think is really fun.
I also love the fact that, again, I had a whole series of missions about assassinating the president of the NCR, and, like, the ending fight is significantly different. You're fighting in a completely different zone. Like, you're going through the Hoover Dam, but you're going the opposite direction. So instead of coming from, like, the right-hand side, as you do in the Independent and in the NCR route, you're going from the left-hand side going in. you're like fighting your way down into the power plant rather than fighting across into the Legion camp. And it's like, I had a bunch of separate weird missions. They put so much thought into like the, instead of being like, here's the same mission, do you pick the evil option or the good option? They're like, yeah, here's a completely separate series of events that are taking place because you've already decided to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
I just think that's so fucking cool.
No, I really, like, the thing is, I want to talk about, because, like, this game, and I think it's, like, it's been pretty obvious, like, in an overall sense, this game was a little tougher for me. One, I think mostly because I think that the open world format of this game would have made it more fun for me to play if I had more time to meander around and just play this game like an open world game. Like, I was thinking about it earlier, and I was thinking about the difference between this and like Dragon Age Inquisition, which is like also has that open world aspect. But the open world aspect of Dragon Age Inquisition is not its strong suit. It is that game actually becomes better when you do what we did and put us on a schedule of like stuff to get done. Because the open world part of Dragon Age Inquisition is sort of its weakest point. It can be fun. It has some fun stuff in it, but it's like the story and the meat and the care, like that's where it's thriving. This game, I feel, and I can feel in playing it, that like if I had the hours and the time to just kind of meander through and like go hunt for every little side quest and like kind of take my time like just exploring the Mojave and then like stumbling upon things and letting that happen more, like I feel like that is where this game shines. And so I think that like for trying to do a game that really shines in being an open world exploration game, to try to put it on a like schedule takes some of its magic, what it's doing best, a little bit away from it. But all of that to say is that I really like found some things about this that I really appreciated. One, I think the endings are cool and unexpectedly dense, like interestingly, like varied. Two, Old World Blues is the best mission in any game maybe ever. It's the best. It's not just the best DLC. It's the best quest that I've done in New Vegas. So I think it's straight up the best. And the companions are, I would love more of them, like in general, but they do have more than I expected out of a game like this. Like, they do have like more interesting stories and like personal quests that seem, that are more interesting than games that I kind of like put on a equivalent, like, you know, like they definitely have more depth than what I expected them to have. And so there were like, in an overall sense, like, I'm kind of just really impressed with this game.
And it's another Dragon Age 2 where they made it in a year and a half, which I think is insane, fucking insane. Actually. Yeah, they had all of they only had all of Fallout 3's resources, and they were like, make a whole game. And then they did what Dragon Age 2 did. They're like, let's just put it all in writing. Fuck it. And let's just make three major factions. Let's have them all have different dynamics, and this builds the whole world of the Mojave out with these billion different endings. And the mechanics is you point and shoot, fuck it.
Yeah. Really cool. Really cool.
No, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
Puppets.
Good. We did it.
We did it.
We played all of Fallout. I also do appreciate the open world thing. And the thing is about this game, this is weirdly, and it's kind of sacrilege, this is more replayable than like a Mass Effect for me because the endings are so incredibly bad.
So varied. Looking up the Securitron thing, I was like, how are you? how are all these possible?
Now, is it a different scale? Unquestionably. Mass Effect is three games into one. You can't have that level of like consistently branching that you can in Fallout New Vegas. But I do think in general it is. I will admit to our audience, the open world aspect makes this is really like a chapter by chapter on a game like this is almost an impossibility. It's why like most of our episodes have been late with this, because it's like there's just so much shit we want to do. There's so much stuff we're continuously doing. It's like I don't think I've had my fill this week. Like I need a little more time with it, and stuff like that has consistently been happening. But yeah, no, it's cool. One of my faves ever.
Yeah, no, and I can honestly see why.
Yeah. Now that your sexless chancellor has forced you to play this game.
Now that my sexless chancellor has won and I have played a Fallout game. And speaking of Mass Effect, what are
speaking
we
doing of Mass
next
Effect,
week, Robin?
Next week, we are going to be playing the prologue to Mass Effect Andromeda. We're going back into the Mass Effect universe. The prologue, weirdly, I did just Google it, I believe is up until now. I'm going to state this. I have not played Mass Effect Andromeda.
No, this is one just like the Veil Guard. Neither of us have played this. We are going in completely
fresh. So at the minute, the prologue is up until you go to Habitat 7, or planet side to Habitat 7, which is the first planet that you go to, because apparently there's a whole thing in a space station.
Okay.
However, if we do this and we're like, that was literally like an hour of gameplay, we will also be doing that. We'll be doing the prologue all the way through the like planet side Habitat 7 mission.
Oh, sure. Okay. The mission on the planet.
Yeah. And then we'll be like, okay, that was the actual mission and that's it now. I have genuinely no joke, zero idea what this game is about.
I have no context or understanding or anything.
It takes place in, spoilers, Andromeda, which is like a different galaxy to all of the things that
it's
happened
in
Mass Effect.
It's in a different galaxy?
It's in a different galaxy.
Oh, we're going to yell a lot, aren't we? We're going to yell it. We're going to yell a lot during this run, aren't we? I think we are.
You think so? This is, much like the Veil Guard, a hyper-controversial game.
Yeah.
People hated it a lot. But, unlike the Veil Guard, a lot of people hated it when it came out, and now they're like, to be fair, it's pretty good. Where things came out, when the Veil Guard came out, there was a lot of people like, oh, this sucks for Nazi reasons.
The first voices were like, this sucks because of woke. And then a year later, people are like, this sucks because it was written bad.
Sorry, you cut out for fully like 45 seconds for me there. And it was very funny because from my perspective, you said, yeah, because the Veil Guard, a lot of people said the Veil Guard sucked because of woke, and then you immediately cut out. Like, the Veil Guard had, the woke had come for you to stop you speaking.
to stop me from speaking this into truth. No, in case it did get cut out, with the Veil Guard, initially all the voices saying it sucked were saying it sucked because of woke. And now a year later, a bunch of people were like, no, it sucks because it was written bad.
It sucks because it's really bad.
It sucks because it was written bad, not because it was woke.
I will never forgive that game for the time that it's wasted with me. I will love that game for what it has given me, which is several hours of me and my best friend talking about it, and the most angry I've ever seen Dylan.
Yeah, and I'm really excited because I have been, you know what I'm so excited to get into Andromeda about is because I have actually, like, in such a fun turnaround and such a fun like insight into the ethos of this show that we are currently making is that, like, I can't believe it. Like, Mass Effect, this game that I, you know, that was so adjacent to my favorite thing for so long, but that I just never touched, mm-hmm. is now such a big part of my, like, life and identity that, like, I have been missing that game.
We have thinking about it a lot. When I, last time I was in Brooklyn, Dylan and I were hungover on the sofa
and we watched
Mass Effect edits for hours. Like Joker Edie edits and like,
oh my
and
God,
like
it was the
big
best.
Take Us Back edits and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. It ruled.
I haven't sent you the Garrus song yet. I can't believe it.
Send me the Garrus song. But because of that, I'm just sort of like, this is prime for me to play this. And if this game is not fucking awesome, it's gonna lead to some controversial opinions on my part. I'll tell you what, because
yeah,
I miss my crew.
If you like,
I miss the crew.
If you like Dylan yelling, I'm excited for you because it might happen again.
It might happen again. We might be there. I want my gang.
Anyway, for the last time,
gang.
I am
bad
sorry,
news.
Though. Unfortunately.
Tough news.
Because the game was
rigged. The game
was rigged
from the start.
There we go. Good. Pointing at me? Is this a song of the summer?